Well. How you doing? Good morning. How you doing? Welcome to Morning Tea Navigations. This is your host, Petty B, and I'm so excited to be with you this morning, okay? Today is Friday, March 5th, and, you know, the title of today's episode is, The Sage Cannot Cleanse This. And, you know, I just want to just go ahead and just cue up the stuff that I need today. I do this all the time. It's so much that goes back and behind the scenes back here of like how to do this. And so I'm just very thankful for my patrons, particularly. Y'all have showed out this week. So I just want to give a round of applause to my patrons because I really couldn't do this work without them. So let's just go ahead and give them a round of applause. If I could just find the sound effect, Jesus. Here we go. Look, if you are not a member of my Patreon, get on it, okay? It's not a sales pitch. I mean, I put receipts on there that I don't put on my Facebook page, and it is like before the show. Like, I do pre-work before these shows. Like, obviously, I have to get the receipts for these shows. So my patrons know about some of the content that I'm going to talk about on Friday because some of the legwork and the receipt pulling that I have to do is throughout the week. So throughout the week, you know, I am posting on Patreon and giving them receipts, updates, and just personal things that's happening with me and my family. So let's get started with the church announcements. Amen. So I just want to just go ahead and say that we need to stop running, and we need to accept yourself for who you are. Please don't get caught up out here, especially with the influences of social media. Your cell phone is a dopamine hit in your pocket. And when you desire it, your brain knows where to get it. They know that you can get it from your cell phone. There are some people that have actually experienced their phone vibrating in their pocket, but their phone didn't vibrate at all. It is just an impulse. And guess what? You now have your phone in your hand, and now you're going to get that dopamine hit because that's exactly what you desired. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? There is an article that is posted by Harvard University, and it is titled "Dopamine Smartphones in You, A Battle for Your Time." And the article, I will post the link, and I just want you to know that that article was published in 2018. So just imagine with COVID and the surge of people using their devices and how much dopamine hits are happening to people. You had people to put Gorilla Glue in their hair to style it. You had people taking Benadryl as a challenge. You had all of these dangerous challenges that's happening. You had the silhouette challenge where people were basically posting naked with a red filter. And then people found out how to remove the red filter. So now they have all your nudes out there all on the internet. So I'm just saying that cell phones, there's studies out there, folks. I talk about it all the time, but it is linked to poor sleep, depression, and it can cause risk or injury. I mean, you had a whole woman put Gorilla Glue in her hair and had to go through a whole procedure to get it out. And then you had copycats that wanted to copy her to, I guess, raise their GoFundMe and get a check. So I just wish that y'all pay attention. I understand that cell phones have a great benefit, but the ultimate question is, what does that benefit cost you? Amen. The next church announcement is that it is vital that you are intentional with the folks that you elect in these offices, particularly local seats. Your life depends on it, literally. Also for the church announcement, I just want to say thank you for the people that have reached out to me and my wife in regards to some situations that's going on. You know, and it's just one of those things that, you know, people get real bold. They hide behind privacy settings and they just can't stand up in their own truth and just say what they want to say with their own face, their own identity. We have to move away from that. I'm all about, you know, saying what you want to say. But at the end of the day, you know, don't hide behind what you have to say. And that's the part that just bothers me. And just imagine the kids who create these fake accounts and want to bully and harass folks and call them out their name. And, you know, so I just want to just say thank you. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love and support in this work. It is very labor intensive and it is a lot. So yeah, let me go ahead and play the disclaimers and I will be right back. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So the first thing that I want to share with y'all today is something that I still can't wrap my brain around. I've been doing research about this. Several people in my squad has been doing research on this, and we have yet to figure out how this even could happen, but it's here. So there's a school district in Baltimore, and a child was going to high school and the mom thought that the child was going to graduate. Come to find out that, you know, he wasn't passing his classes and he's technically based credit wise that he's still a freshman. And so, you know, the mom is demanding answers about how could this happen? She really thought that her son was going to graduate with his diploma, you know, in June, and come to find out that he doesn't even have enough credits to graduate and that he is near the top of his class with a 0.13 GPA. I don't like how like this hurts my heart. Like, I feel bad for the children that have went through school and they have nothing to show for it. Nothing, nothing. All that time that he was in school, nothing. And I'm sure that there's more to the story. I'm sure that there's more to what the headlines are presenting. And this is why we've been trying to get answers, but I just can't rack my brain around it. But I will tell you this, is that this type of stuff is happening right in your own backyard. You have kids that are being pushed through these education systems. They're not being, you know, taught with fidelity, and they're being pushed through because of their age. They're being pushed through because there's funding there. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we need to ensure that we have proper board members. We have to ensure that we have proper leadership, such as superintendents and district administrations that make those decisions for the day-to-day basis of your kid. Like, this is why this is so important. And we're going to discuss that because, you know, we have board members that, you know, you'll ask them questions and they will provide you the most ridiculous answers. And we're going to discuss that a little bit in today's episode. But I just wanted to just kind of bring you here to let you know, like, this is a real thing. And this is not just impacting Baltimore. This is impacting a lot of school districts, especially when it relates to our Black and brown children that have been pushed through these systems. And there's no one that's intentional to ensure that they have equity in education. And the people that speak up about this are typically bullied, harassed, and targeted just for fighting for children. It's really sad. So please pray for this family and the citizens of Baltimore that's dealing with the situation. But also, please pray for the children that's right here in your local area that's dealing with these obstacles and they have no outlet to go to. Moving forward, I just want to say that I'm very thankful that I am seeing the educators getting vaccinated. And, you know, this is just a whole political time where people want to now start to take credit for what's happening. And I'm not going to go back and be petty with it, but I just want to say that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm thankful that the educators are becoming vaccinated and having that opportunity, because at one point that opportunity wasn't there. And you had leaders in position that was very, very firm on their stance that, you know, they were not going to allow educators to get the vaccine. There was no priorities there. And all of a sudden now there's new administrative changes from the top federally. And now things are moving into formation, but you now have people that have been in the situation that could have done something about it, now taking credit for what is being done. But that's politics. People play these games all the time. So just remember that when it's your time to vote, remember that when it's time to evaluate these people's effectiveness in their leadership, because I'm telling you, the games that people play on the backs of our children, it is too much. Okay. In Pinellas County, the Pinellas County School District and their union actually reached an agreement. They negotiated the memorandum of understanding in regards to how they're going to work with the educators during this pandemic. And I want to share that receipts, share those receipts with you. So let's see here. Share screen. And the memorandum is here. Boom. Okay. So I will post the link so that you're able to see this, but they issued an agreement. And so there's a couple of things that is in writing that the district has to provide to their educators. The reason why this is important is because this is in writing, this is paper trail, and this can hold the district accountable to what's on paper. If it's not on paper and there's no accountability there, then the district could say what they want. It even goes down to talk about how many kids should be in the classroom, stipends when it comes to how much they're going to get paid for doing simultaneous teaching, the enrollment numbers, and for people that, are high risk, what are their response? This is 11 pages, okay? So again, I want you to take a look at this. If you're not in Pinellas County and you want something similar to this in place, review what's happening and talk to your local school unions and say, hey, Pinellas County has a memorandum of, understanding with how they're handling COVID. We should be able to model and kind of replicate this so that we can get this in writing so we can hold the district accountable. So that is why I'm bringing this up. So, although the teachers did not get everything that they wanted in this memorandum of understanding, at least they have something that is on paper, something that they can hold the district accountable for. Now, of course, the district came back and was like, oh, well, we didn't even need this anyway because we do it. Well, that's going to be for a whole nother episode because Pinellas County is lying. I haven't really touched deep into Pinellas County because the stuff in Hillsborough is just so massive and it impacts more children. We're talking about the seventh largest school district in the nation, the third largest in the state that is broke with bad credit and the cards are maxed out. So that's why Hillsborough has just been a focus. But Pinellas County, they're in some mess too, okay? But the memorandum of understanding is a good starting point, at least to hold the district accountable to making sure that they're following COVID protocols and they're keeping their educators safe and that they are being compensated for doing extra work that they were not supposed to be doing anyway, but they're doing it because they love the kids and they want our kids to win. But we cannot abuse that love. We need to make sure that we are properly compensating our educators, our bus drivers, our custodial workers, because they are the frontline workers. They are essentials and they are the ones impacting our future generations. So I hope that people pay attention to that. Seriously, I can't stress that enough. Okay. So moving forward, we had Pasco County School District. So the block is hot for them. So if you haven't seen the Tampa Bay Times investigative report, basically Pasco County Schools has a partnership with the sheriff's office and they were sharing data so much so that they were identifying and targeting students. Last year, they had around 400 students that was identified as potential criminals. And so, yeah, well, Pasco lost some grant money because of it. And that's very unfortunate because, it's going to hurt the kids at the end of the day. But I totally understand the foundation's position that we're not going to be funding a public school system that is having these bad practices. So I get the intention of it. But at the end of the day, all this does is harm children because, we don't even have money in our education system. Our priorities are not with public education, and that's really unfortunate. So, I just want you to know that the block is hot for Pasco. And as much as the superintendent keeps saying that, the Times wasn't being accurate with their reporting and all of that stuff, I don't know. I'm just going to say that behavior like this is the reason why the school to prison pipeline exists and the reason why we have these issues in our communities. So, yeah. Masoor, hey, good morning. Yeah. Over $1 million lost. Yeah. Pasco really got hit in their pockets. They really got hit in their pockets with it. And, rightfully so. But at the same time, again, I just feel for the kids because, they're supposed to be the beneficiaries of that. So that's accountability. Now they're going to have to figure out how they're going to get, that money and support our kids. These are the decisions that they made, and so they have to deal with it. So it's unfortunate all the way around. But I just wanted to let you know, because that has been a hot topic, and especially when it comes to the school to prison pipeline, we really need to have an intentional focus with that. And if you don't know, Hillsborough County leads the state, arresting and citing more children than any other county in the state of Florida. Okay, moving on. So there's an article that came out an hour ago, but it's probably a little bit longer since I pulled it. Let me see. It was published at 6:44 a.m. Let me go ahead and share that with you. Okay, so there was a resource officer that worked at Middleton. He was fired for derogatory language, context matters in this situation. They're actually fighting to get his job back, rightfully so. He needs to get his job back, because I'm just trying to figure out what officer is going to work at Middleton to deal with the population and what's happening at the school. The fact that he has been there for a while, he has established a culture at the school. The children are impacted by this. They're posting it on social media, folks. Like, so the stuff that happens, you know, it is on social media. The kids talk about it, and, you know, they were upset and frustrated. So this article here with the Tampa Bay Times, I just want to kind of focus on Chief Dugan for a second, because I just see some quotes by him, and I just have a couple questions. So if he could just come down to the front of the congregation, because the Tampa Police Department chief decides that he wants to talk about high standards, and yet I guess he forgot what's been happening in the city of Tampa for God knows how long. And I don't live in the city of Tampa, but I see it all on the internet and I see it on social media, and we still haven't had any clarity on what they're going to do with the increased amount of shootings that's happening, where our young kings and queens are dying out here in the streets. So Chief Dugan wants to be on the record, and he says, and I quote, "Derogatory statements made by police officers jeopardize the trust that our department works to establish with our community." Well, sir, the trust was broken. Remember when, you know, we had Black Lives Matter protests and, you know, y'all decided to say that there was no rubber bullets and stuff that was sprayed, but meanwhile, there was whole receipts out here on the internet that showed y'all doing that. And I just want to know, did y'all pull the body cameras to hear some of the stuff that the officers were saying while they were participating in this activity? Because it just seems that there's selective outrage when it comes to this situation. You have people that have came on here and talked about this officer, this, that, and a third, because they haven't seen what happened. When I originally first saw the article, it was on ABC Action News. It did not have the picture of the officer nor the context of what he said. It basically said that a security officer was fired for derogatory language. Well, this is something that typically happens in Hillsborough County. This ain't the first situation where, you know, an officer is compromised by saying something inappropriate, but context matters. Context matters in this situation. And so, again, I just don't understand why Chief Dugan wants to say, talks about trust, when there is no trust in TPD. There hasn't been trust in TPD, because TPD hasn't been truthful. And I just want to know, Chief Dugan, are you going to hold those officers accountable that are riding on the Leo Affairs forums and they're talking all kinds of racial mess and they're hiding behind VPN and privacy settings? And meanwhile, they're supposed to be protecting and serving the citizens in the Tampa Bay area. Meanwhile, they are saying a whole bunch of mess on these platforms and there's no accountability. But where's trust? Then Chief Dugan goes to say, Tampa police officers are held to a higher standard, and incidents like this negatively impact the entire law enforcement profession. You know what, Chief Dugan? You know, when you was up there doing these press conferences, lying to the community about what was really happening on the grounds, you know, we should hold you to a higher standard, Chief Dugan. I think you should be removed from your position, Chief Dugan. If we're going to hold you to higher standards, you lying to the community about what was happening, you should be held accountable for that. If we're going to keep that same energy, I think that we should, Chief Dugan. I think we should. I agree with you. I agree with you. So let's hold you accountable for lying to the people when y'all was out there shooting rubber bullets and a whole bunch of crazy mess happening. Y'all had military riot gear and everything else. Meanwhile, y'all can't solve any crimes that's happening in the community. All these homicides, all these shootings, and we have no idea. We have no idea what's going on. No press conferences, no, you know, mentorship opportunities, nothing. We just out here just see something, y'all just drive away until y'all get the phone call. And then, you know, when the residents in Tampa call the police and have y'all come out there, especially in the East Tampa community, this is what I'm being told. I'm being told that y'all ask a million and one questions to find out if it's even worth your time coming out there or not. That's what y'all doing with taxpayers' money? I focus on education, but the fact that this whole officer is fired, and I'm glad that people are fighting to, you know, get his job back, and people are sending letters, and thank you, Robin Lockett, for standing up for him, and is quoted in this article. But Chief Dugan, hello, sir. You need to be held accountable too, because, you know, if we want to hold him accountable for, you know, what he said, I don't think that termination is the answer, because there's a lot of officers that should have been terminated that was not. So we just need to be consistent with our policies and making sure that we keep the same energy, because there is a lot of police officers that walk around in the school. You have police officers captured in our public schools with a Trump wristband and everything else. When that Trump rally happened, you had, you know, resource officers with the Trump, you know, wristband on, didn't say nothing, didn't protect the other kids while they was having the Trump rally. So, okay. Moving on. So I hope he gets his job back. And again, y'all go check out what's happening at Middleton on Instagram. That Instagram is something for me. So speaking of social media and Instagram, so when the situation about Officer White was being talked about on social media, there was other people that was like, you know, there's a bunch of people that are being fired, you know, unjustly. And I was like, well, what are y'all talking about? So there was a situation that happened at Coleman Middle School. This is the same school that I told y'all last week, where a 12-year-old student bought some stun guns, brought it to school, and sold them at school. Okay. And it's been real quiet about how the 12-year-old was able to purchase them, how the 12-year-old was able to receive them, how the 12-year-old was able to put it in her backpack and sell it to school without the parents' knowledge, and basically putting the community at risk. We need to be looking to the parent in this situation, because that child could have put so many people at risk by her actions. And it's by her actions, by her parents' actions, because I'm just trying to figure out how a 12-year-old purchased stun guns on the internet and is able to put it in her backpack and take it to school to sell it without the parents knowing. I just have so many questions about that whole situation. And then there's allegations that the child went to the Ritz-Carlton to get away, and that the mom is a real estate agent, and all this stuff just coming out about this situation. And I just want to know, why is it quiet? Because if it was a parent that looked like me, y'all would have called DCF. Y'all would have called and said that that was an unfit parent. That parent should not have that child because they had access to these dangerous weapons, and they brought these dangerous weapons to school, and that they are a danger to society. It would have been a whole thing. Where's that energy? Now, I'm not saying that I wish anything bad on the mom. I just want to keep things in perspective, that if the shoe was in a different place, we will have a completely different conversation. The news media will be knocking on the parents' door, asking them several times, hey, how did your child purchase the stun gun? What credit card did the child use to place the order? There would have been questions there. But yet, there's silence. There's silence. So what else that happened at Coleman was that there was a teacher that was out. And this happened last 9 weeks. The teacher was out and she left her iPad at school. The sub had allowed the kids to use her iPad. Problem number one, why are you allowing kids to use the teacher's personal property and you have no idea if they should be using it or not? And are you supposed to be teaching kids? Why do kids have an iPad? Why do they have the teacher's iPad? So, okay. So the kids went deep into this teacher's iPad. They started searching all her files on this iPad. Okay. And then they found naked pictures of the teacher. Now, the husband thought that he had hid the photos, you know, because there's like different hidden folders you could have. But the kids were very intentional with searching his whole iPad. They shouldn't have had it in the first place. They searched the iPad and they found the naked pictures. Well, one of the students posted the naked picture on social media. The teacher was fired at Coleman, Hillsborough County, last 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now, when I asked about the situation, I was told that allegedly the teacher was fired, wasn't much that could be done about the situation, and that the student who posted on social media, nothing happened to him because he was traumatized. And I just want to know, when was he traumatized? Was it before or after he showed everybody at the school and on social media and was sending all that information out anywhere? That should be a crime. To post someone's naked pictures without their knowledge or consent is a crime. So how this child isn't held accountable for what they posted on the internet, and I don't know if the child was held accountable or not. What I was told, allegedly, is that nothing happened to the child because they were traumatized. That's exactly what I got. So I don't know if there's more to the story or not. I'm just telling you what is told to me in my inbox. I just hope people understand that this is wrong. So I go back to these cell phones. I go back to the internet. The internet never forgets, folks. I keep talking about this. So I just want people to understand that y'all have to be intentional with these cell phones. Y'all have to be intentional with what y'all do on the internet, because the internet never forgets. You know what else that came up while we talking about the internet? Well, so at Blake High School, the students were talking about the AP. The AP, his old tweets had surfaced, and this was one of the tweets that the kids had posted. Okay, and I posted this on my Patreon, so they had already seen this. But this is the AP at Blake. He said he likes his women and athletes like his dogs, dumb and loyal. This is what he said. So he posted this back in 2011. So this is a long time ago. Okay. But yet the kids found it and they were posting it on social media. It became a conversation, so much so that he actually deleted his Twitter. Now, what he failed to realize is that just because you delete your Twitter account doesn't mean the archives and what you have done on Twitter goes away. I mean, there's whole archives of his Twitter, his tweets, what he's tweeted about. So I just go back to say that the internet never forgets. So I keep telling people that the internet never forgets. So as far as that situation, I'm not sure what the school is doing about that. They are old. I don't know what was the intent or why the kids went back to his old tweets to talk about it. What happened? I don't know. But there was a lot of conversations that were happening in the community about his tweets. I was informed about it. I did some digging, and I'm just here to present the information to you. So I don't really know what is happening in that situation, but I just want to let people know, educators, y'all need to make sure y'all check y'all social media profiles. Y'all need to make sure, because anything that y'all can say could be twist, turned, spin out of context, all of that. And there's some stuff that people post that's just dead behind wrong. Did y'all send that information to Chuck Henderson to the Florida Department of Education? I'm going to follow back up on that, because Chuck Henderson decided that he wanted to just lie and say it wasn't him. Meanwhile, there was an entire organization that was used to, you know, dismantle this hate speech in these groups on social media, and he got caught in the group. So I wonder if his information was submitted to the Florida Department of Education. There was a whole case that was done on that. And yeah, it's a whole article on Teaching for the Culture. You can see it, where he even reached out to me personally. I don't even know why. And if he didn't do it, he wouldn't have gotten caught. But he got caught because he reached out to me, and the group was still following him, and the group found me and put all this stuff together. So, I mean, there's that. Okay. Now, let me go ahead and get information, because there's some serious situations that needs to be addressed in Hillsborough. And again, the sage can't cleanse this. So I will be right back, and I will see you in a minute.
They don't last always. This is why we need an audit. Because these books are not clean. People need to be held accountable. And stop playing these political games. Because our children deserve better at the end of the day. And we need people to be accountable, transparent, and operate in integrity. Lift y'all hands up in the church. Thank you, Lord. Because the truth out today. And now the district's exposed.
Look, this sage can cleanse all of this right here. It can't. Y'all, I do this for entertainment purposes. The stuff that I talk about is not entertaining. We're literally talking about families that don't know how they're going to pay their bills because they don't know if they're going to have a job. They don't know what is going to happen to them. You have bus drivers that are literally, some of them are living paycheck to paycheck and they don't know how to operate. They don't know how to move. I'm getting emails about supplies, that they're running out of supplies, you know, for the bus drivers to clean their buses. You got kids sitting 3 to a seat on these buses. We have custodial workers that are cleaning for COVID and didn't even know that they were cleaning for COVID at the time. Like, it's just so much that's happening. So much. When I started this whole thing, you know, it really started with the superintendent search. Because there was a lot of stuff that was happening with that. And the more that I reflect on it, I can understand why. Looking back, I can now see how all of this is forming together and people are talking, people are coming out the woodwork. So there's some topics that we have to talk about. The first topic that we want to talk about is the retreat. I want to just say, like, you know, I'm thankful that the school board members had that retreat so that they could talk about their way of work. I'm excited for the school board meeting that is going to be on March 9th to kind of see what they talk about. How are we going to move forward? Because the question is how we're going to move forward. You have the information. You have the information. You know that the district is broke. You know that the district has bad credit. And you know that the district accounts are frozen and the cards are maxed out. And so we know this. We know that educators are going to be ripped apart. We know that school cultures are shifting. We know these problems, but we need to look to figure out what can we do to solve it. And going back and looking at history as to how we've gotten here, there's a lot of solutions that not only I propose, but people that are affiliated with Teaching for the Culture, other organizations out here that are just out here proposing. For example, Safe Bus for Us, you know, they're talking about, you know, our transportation issues. When we talk about our transportation issues, we need to talk about boundaries. We need to talk about how our children in the inner city are riding to school on a bus for almost hours before they get to school. You have kids that don't get home until around 6:45 because of their commute, because of the boundaries, because of the things that were put in place that we've continued to have, and we have not had a productivity analysis to determine if it's effective or not. These are the things that I've called for. I went to school board meetings. I said, y'all need a productivity analysis. Y'all need to analyze these people that are in these positions, if they're effective or not. Because again, we've been here before. What makes this worse is that we're dealing with COVID. So now we're dealing with, you know, not enough money that's funneling through because people have slowed down their spending because, you know, people are slowing down on work and, you know, we're having budget issues because of COVID. So it makes the matters worse, but we are still here where the district spends more than what they receive. And like I said, we've been here. So with the retreat, you know, there were conversations that, you know, took place. I was not present. I only could watch the tweets that, you know, Marlene had posted to kind of, you know, gauge what was happening. And, you know, I'm glad that Melissa Snively apologized to Jessica Vaughn, although it had a caveat because she thought that these board members felt superior. No, they're asking questions because we've been here. And for the board members that have been in this situation, like, I understand why you're upset, because the block is hot for you, because you decided to run for office and you said that you were going to promise financial oversight. And yet we're sitting here trying to figure out, you know, if we could meet payroll or not. We're sitting here talking about the state might take in receivership over the district because of the negligence, because of what's happening, because of the decisions that these policymakers have been making. These board members are policymakers. Okay? You have people that literally campaign and you say that I'm here to, you know, that we deserve financial oversight, that we deserve the highest financial accountability. They are running on these principles. And then when it's time to be held accountable, they have no idea how serious the financial situation is. And they were serving on committees that was designed for them to have those conversations. There's just so many questions. Sage can't fix this. What can fix it is people being accountable, people being transparent, and people operating in integrity. That's what's going to solve this. When people realize that, hey, you can't run from this anymore. You were on the board. So what can we do to move forward? There's going to be people that will not have a job anymore just due to the district not spending their money properly and not understand that we're underfunded. But y'all are looking at selling one of your most known assets. Not every school district is doing that. And to try to say that all their districts are doing that is disingenuous. So I want to share with you receipts on how we were here before. And I did a video presentation to my Patreons and kind of broke this down even more for them. But this is the district's website. This was posted on the website before Superintendent Addison Davis took over. And these are the frequently asked questions in regards to the budget shortfalls. This was referring to the 2017-2018 school year and the budget. So the people that were talking about all this mess, they've been on the board. Again, the only person that I give somewhat a pass to is Steve Kona, because he was only on the board for 2 years. Granted, he did approve expenditures for 2 years. Granted, he was on a finance committee for 2 years, but he wasn't on the board as long as these other folks. So this is why we're here. If you go and you look to see what has Superintendent Jeff Akins and the school board done to improve the budget shortfalls, what have they done to improve it? Let's read it. The superintendent has been seeking to become more efficient in all areas, starting with the allocation of employees. More than 300 district administrators have been reassigned to the classroom. And the question is, where are they now? The superintendent has initiated a thorough review of the budget process, which continues today. New controls and contract review procedures have been added to safeguard the fund balance and reduce spending. Yet we are still here. These changes have resulted in the school district's bond rating outlook to improve from a negative to stable. Well, the Fitch and Moody ratings, they're back negative. So what controls did the board members that were previously on the board do to prevent what's happening now? This is why I continue to go back and I keep stressing the people who you need to talk to about this financial situation. These are the people that were most recently serving on the finance committee. These are the people that were responsible for approving these expenditures and having conversations with the CFO about the budget. This is the finance committee. It's all outlined on the website. There's meeting dates where they've met, and there's public records all easily available that you can gain access to. So people have been asking questions, and, you know, I'm thankful that the board is starting to, you know, come together. We keep having conversations about unity. And like I shared with you last week, We're not going to have unity until all hands are exposed, especially the unclean hands. And like Lynn Gray, I mean, you're quoted and you said that we have to stick together and stick with the superintendent. And you know what? You're partially right, where we have the superintendent, we can't afford to get rid of him, and we have to stick with him. We don't have any money to get rid of him unless the people in the community decide to crowdsource and crowdfund and get this money to get him out, to pay him out his contract and with his vacation pay and everything like that. I mean, that's a lot of money that we're talking about. So do we have to stick together? Absolutely. Will we not agree on some things? Absolutely. Do we need to be respectful to one another? Absolutely. But asking questions is not disrespect. Asking for receipts is not disrespect. Holding you accountable is not disrespect. And people have to understand that you can't be in your feelings when people are asking these questions. You got people asking questions and then you got people rolling up at the school to figure out about them. That doesn't create a safe school culture. It doesn't. This is why our educators feel some type of way and they don't feel comfortable speaking out. And then when it is talked about, y'all have a problem with it. So the good thing is that, you know, I'm glad that we have a new school board. I'm glad people decided to realize that we need change. We need change. We've been needed change. And I'm glad that, you know, change is coming and that the people who were serving on the finance committee, two of the three of them were mollywopped in the polls. So I'm thankful that we got, you know, people in position. And I'm so thankful for school board member Jessica Vaughn. I'm so thankful for school board member Nadia Combs. I'm so thankful for school board member Karen Perez. I'm so thankful for the school board members in Pinellas County, the school board members in Manatee County. There's a lot of stuff that's happening with Manatee County, and I'll definitely be there soon. But what I will say is that there are some great people that are doing some great work, and there's constructive criticism that is out here to better support. And you might not like it, but it's here and it's not going away. So Tamara Schamburger decided, you know, to come out and say, hey, I'm back and I'm here to answer any questions. And I don't know if she thought that this was going to be something that was going to be really powerful for her campaign or what her intentions were. I think it backfired on her, to be honest, because just some of the stuff that she said. So one of the things, you know, Tamara Schamburger, she served on the finance committee, and from my understanding, hold on, it says my Wi-Fi is unstable. Let's see. Let me move this from the stream. Okay. Let me check just to make sure I'm good, because I don't be knowing. The devil stay busy. Right when I be trying to tell y'all something important. Teaching for the culture. Yeah, it's like going in and out. I'm going to try to make it work, though. Let's see. I'm going to quit this one. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know what's happening with my internet right now. The digital divide is real, folks. It's real. Service in different area codes is real. Okay. All right, I think that might work. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so yeah, it was like she's back lying and misleading. Absolutely. So I want to go ahead and share something that she said because there's questions. So people were asking Tammy about like, hey, where's the money? You know? So this was one of her responses to the situation. And she said that, you know, there was, is a finance committee. Okay. Not a budget committee. And I'm not sure what she meant about finance and budget committee and playing games with semantics. I would think that the finance committee would talk about the budget, because it's the finances of the district, but I don't know. Then she says that the purpose of all committees were to vet what information or topic should be brought before the board for discussion. Then she says that the finance committee did not, nor should we be brought any budget items from the superintendent, which I just have so many questions with that third sentence alone. Like, if the superintendent doesn't bring anything to you, how do you vote on it? Like, I just, okay, moving on. Number four, she says that the finance committee discussed issues like equalizing staff paychecks and how that could be possible, timelines of if audits, I think she meant to say of audits, received updates on school account audits, review these different reports, and that all budget discussions are held in public at school board meetings with individual discussions held with the superintendent and or CFO. And then she also says that the superintendent and CFO handles the budget, not the board. Well, she didn't even say board. She didn't. Okay. Not the board or committee. And then she wants to tell the person that they need to understand that the board has oversight authority only, that the law procedures, I'm sorry, that the law precludes a board member for engaging in day-to-day operations of the board. Hence the reason why the law dictates board positions as part-time. So with this alone, there's a lot of questions. This is the person who was chairing and responsible for the finances of the seventh largest district in the nation, the third largest in the state. And she says that the finance committee is not a budget committee. That's just number one. And then says that, you know, this is what she said. Okay. This is why y'all have to ask questions. So I was glad because people were asking questions. So I'm going to post the receipts. I'm not going to go through all of this, but basically she was explaining about how the fund balance works, and there's more questions than answers with her statement. And so that's why I'm going to post the receipts. I posted it for my Patreon already, but I'm going to post it for y'all so y'all can see it, because y'all need to ask questions. People are in there asking questions. And when someone was asking her questions, she was like, well, have you asked your elected board member in District 5? Sis, you say you was answering questions. Shay can't answer any questions about this finance committee. She has, like, Shake has nothing to do with this finance committee. Shake has nothing to do with this budget. They just got here. What expenditures did they approve? Did they approve a bunch of expenditures already? So, again, she just has a really odd way of explaining this, and it doesn't make sense. And people reaching out to me and like, seriously, did she seriously write this on Facebook? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, she's writing this on Facebook because she's trying to change the narrative to make it seem like the CFO and the superintendent makes all these decisions. Yet on her website in 2016, she was promoting strong financial oversight and financial accountability. And here we are again. So I asked the question, and my intention was just for people to follow the money. Like, again, people always say, oh, y'all be going back. No, she started with me. And I'm a type of person, if you start with me, I'm a clap back. That's just me. I know that's probably not the most mature thing to do, but I'm growing. Okay. I'm learning every single day. But the thing about it is that, like, what you're not going to do is you're not going to talk to me reckless and I not say anything. Like, that's just me. I can hold my own. I'll say what I say. I'll sage and I'll move on. So I asked Tammy a very intentional question. Okay. And I asked her when she said, I'm back, let's talk. And I said, it's a large increase of money documented in your financial disclosures that isn't consistent with your reported income on Part D. I've gathered the documents during your tenure. Now, part of that message was not all in this screenshot, so I want to read it to you. and I have no problem posting it just so that you can see it. So then I said, for the sake of transparency, can you explain how you increase your net worth by $118,700 while serving on the school board? Hashtag following the money. She responds to me and says, it's called having a job, something you should get. And I respond with the okay. And I did that to be petty, the same okay that she gave Thaddeus Bullard when he didn't want to support her campaign and supported Shake. And then she started a whole smear campaign about him just because of personal vendettas. These are the people that y'all elect in office. But like, seriously, folks, like the question is legitimate. Like it is something very serious. And the most money that she reported as an increase was the time that she was the chair of the school board, which was when a lot of contracts were happening. So like I said, y'all need to follow the money, because like this is some serious, like this is public on the website. I have redacted her address so she can't say that I'm, you know, doxing her or anything like that. Like this is what she reported. This is public information. You can see that each year her net worth increased. Now, her most recent one, you know, she has all of these monies in her account, all of these accounts that have, you know, a bunch of money in it, but it doesn't match up to the salaries that she reported in Part D. It doesn't add up. And where she had a bunch of money in her account with these different accounts, it doesn't match up. But y'all say what y'all want. The money don't add up. This is what she put it on her financial disclosures. Her net worth in 4 years increased. The public deserves answers to know why. How are you able to increase your money that much? And the thing is, like, you put this on your financial disclosure. You were so happy that you got these checks on the back end while you were serving on the school board for whatever you was doing, that you were so arrogant enough to put it on these forms. And now there's now a request for a paper trail because you put this information on these documents. You submitted this here. And we're trying to figure out why our educators are going to lose their jobs, why we're potentially closing schools, why we're in a chaos. And these board members have profited off the failure of our kids. Hillsborough County Public Schools has over 9 times the amount of failing schools compared to Miami-Dade, which is the largest school district in the state of Florida, folks. This is a lot we're talking about. So all of these charter networks that are coming up, y'all are upset about that, but we've been failing our kids for years. The generational impact of the failure of Hillsborough County Public Schools, there could be a whole book. You said, can you share the increase? I can't see it somehow. Absolutely. It'll be my pleasure to show that to you. So let me put it back up and I'm going to zoom in so you can see. Okay. So I want you to pay attention to Part A. This is not the first document. It doesn't start here. Okay. How she started what, 48. Okay. I'm going to just round to these numbers so I don't get confused. So 48K was when she first started in 2016 when she came into office. Okay. And in that, she had where her liabilities were some mortgages, her student loan, and she had $5,000 in a bank account. She had her property on here, which is one home. And then she had her retirement account. Okay. And then her sources of income is where she put where she worked. So she worked for this company that I guess has the Allstate franchise, and then the school board pay. And she had just got paid from the district, so she didn't have the full salary there. Okay, so that was what she filed. And again, this is public information that she put on here. Okay, so you move to the next one. So this is 2017. Okay, and so her net worth pretty much doubled. Okay, so now she's at 86K or 87K. Okay, now before she was at 45K, remember? So her house added on here, it added some value. Her bank account, she was able to receive more money in her bank account. So that's good. So it's 20K in there. And then she got a car now that she didn't list before. So that was $5,000. And then she has her loans. So her mortgage, her car, which this was a Volvo she had at the time. Now she has a Range Rover, and her student loans. And then again, where she's getting paid. Okay. And then she lists nothing here about any interest in specific businesses or anything like that. So this is what she reports. Okay. Go to the next one. This is in 2018. And this is when she was the chair. And this is where she received the biggest increase. So she is now at 100K. Okay. And then her property pretty much stayed the same. Her retirement account increased. And then she reports $52,000 in a bank account. That is not like, this is new. Okay. So there's $52,000 that's now being reported somewhere. Then we look at her liabilities. She still has the same car, the Volvo, on here, her student loans, her mortgage. And then that was a second mortgage. Okay. So then you look at her salaries. So did her salary increase by $5,000? Yes, it did. But it does not equal where you would get the $52,000 in your account in 1 year. Okay. So then you go to the next one where now she's at 167K. So she went from 100K to 160K in 1 year. So now she's at 170K. So she went up 67K in 1 year. Okay. Now watch this. So the property is about the same. So bank accounts, she's at 20K now. Okay. So she spent some money. You know where she spent it? That Range Rover. The Florida retirement account. Okay. There you have that. And then you have the mortgage. You have the vehicle lease, which she was paying off so she could get that Range Rover, and then student loans. I want you to look at the vehicle lease. So in 1 year, she went from $45,000 in her lease to $2,100. Why this is all important, and the reason why it's talked about, is because the district is broke and you have people that are saying and talking about these finances with these type of answers. This is the person who was serving on the finance committee. This was the person who was here during the first budget shortfall that I posted, and I showed y'all the website. This is the same person who was so-called the chair of this committee, and yet she has this information that she posted on her page, and yet we still don't have any answers about this. So again, if you follow this money, okay, and you follow what she has, this is what I want to show y'all. When she took that franchise spot, her salary reduced, and she added Schamburger Insurance LLC because she is now over at that Allstate building in Temple Terrace. So they cut her salary so that she can make money with her business under her own LLC. So again, just following the money of these leaders that are responsible for the finances of this district. It don't add up, just like the budget in our district doesn't add up. So that's why I said, y'all ask these questions. Meanwhile, she's driving around here with a nice Range Rover, and it's not me hating on her. It's, again, questions about this money. I could care less about how much money she has in her pocket. What I care about is that she was serving on the school board, and she's saying how we had all this great student achievement, but didn't tell the folks in the community that 111 schools declined a letter grade. When she said that we were slowly stopping the school to prison pipeline when we lead the state. And these disingenuous narratives about the progress of our students. Meanwhile, they are hurting each other out here in the streets. They are literally hurting each other out in the streets. They are hurting each other out at the school. I just seen a video the other day where a parent would jump in a fight with some kids and was tasering the people. Like, it's a video out there in a community of these kids fighting, parents jumping in, they hurting each other. And we have people that are responsible for this and they're playing games. And I just want to know, like, we need answers. Our children deserve so much better. And this is why all of this is here. Our children deserve better. So, Lynn, your leadership on this school board as the chair is going to be vital during this time. I really hope, Lynn, that you step it up, because people are talking, they're looking at you, and they're going to hold you accountable. I pray that these school board members are able to navigate through these muddy waters while all of this stuff is happening. I pray that Addison Davis get it together. And sir, you know, you might not respond to my emails. You used to, but you don't respond anymore. But just because you don't respond to me, don't think that when you send correspondence to other people that I don't get it. So I did get the correspondence about your answers regarding Reddick Elementary. And I did come to find out that the person that you hired for the position didn't even apply, from what I gathered. I want to read you what I got. Because it's sad. It's sad. And all people want to do is just ask questions on what's happening. And all you need to do is just provide the answers. It don't have to be all of this. It don't. But y'all choose to do that. So this is what Addison Davis sent to the board about what the educators were upset about at Reddick. The educators brought this up. They brought it to my attention because they were upset. I didn't know the inner workings until I got more information. When I got more information, I had questions too, because I wanted to know. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. But when you ask questions and then the people that are involved in it, and there's some people not involved in it that's calling and getting involved, like, Addison, that was really unprofessional. I emailed you about something that the educators brought to my attention because they were upset, and you went and you contacted the person I was, that was unprofessional. It was. So this is what Addison Davis sent to the board. Okay. Board members, for your review, find all relevant information regarding 401A administrative placement for Reddick Elementary School. The position was posted on December 1st, 2020 through December 7th, 2020. The first round of interviews took place on January 28th, 2021. The panel consisted of the chief of elementary schools, that is one of the people that he hired from Clay County, as well as region superintendents. Felt a suitable candidate was not found, meaning that they did interviews and that these people felt that the people who applied was not qualified for the position. Therefore, I have requested a list of names from regional superintendents and cabinet members of current assistant principals whom they believe were ready for principalship. So I want you to understand what this man is saying. He's saying that they had posted a position, they had a round of interviews, they had looked at these people, and all of the people that interviewed, they felt that there was no suitable candidate. So a list was pulled to have people who they believe was ready for principalship. And so these people were a list of 7 candidates, and they were chosen by senior staff members. Senior staff members, meaning Addison Davis members, because most of the senior staff is his people, not the people who've been here. So they have the scoring rubric, and the particular educator scored the highest. Okay. And then he provides a history of this particular AP's background of where they worked. Okay. And then says that this particular person meets all the requirements and that he's excited about their leadership. Okay. Now, the board cannot interfere with day-to-day operations, but the question was, because the educators were upset that their AP, who has established a school culture, who has improved the school, who was there for 9+ years, was passed up over a person that they don't know, a person who is coming from schools without those type of performance data, and they just have questions. And you know, one of the people that asked questions, do you know that people was asking about this employee, and they actually pulled that educator's AP to the side to talk to them about this educator that spoke up at that particular school? Like, the retaliation is real. It truly is. It's real, and it's unfortunate. And it's just like, when you ask questions, like, it's just a problem. I don't understand why it's a problem. Just answer the question. So, Addison, although you didn't answer my email when I asked you, I got the email. So I just don't understand why you try to play these games as if I don't know what you're thinking. I don't. But I just hope you understand that the block is high and that you can't run from accountability. You cannot run from your responsibilities. And all of this is just coming to the light. All of it. So Sage is not going to fix it. What's going to fix it is everyone that is in this situation, that they operate in accountability, transparency, and integrity. Again, that includes myself. So if you upset at me for asking questions, that's fine. But then I also want you to reflect on why you felt that it's important for you to get involved, or why you felt that, you know, you have to be upset about the question. What privilege do you have to where you feel like you can go unchecked? All the decisions that are made, it needs to be done in the sunshine. There needs to be transparency here. And asking for that shouldn't be a problem. But see, when y'all walk around with unclean hands and not providing educators, you know, solutions, and, you know, you're giving them the runaround and you say one thing and do another, that's why there's no trust. So while Lynn Gray, you call for unity, also make sure that you operate in trust. Make sure you operate in transparency and accountability, because all these school board members, besides the new ones that just came here, they were approving all those expenditures. We've been here before. Now we have COVID, and now it just is exposed more. But at the end of the day, they have a duty, and y'all have a duty to hold these people accountable, because these are the people that decided that they wanted to run for office. And all of a sudden they are deciding that they want to pick and choose their responsibilities and determine that a finance committee is not a budget committee. I just can't. Follow the money, folks, and be intentional, because our kids deserve better. And the last thing I'm going to say is, parents, please check these cell phones. The fact that this mom out here is not held accountable for her child purchasing guns on somebody's credit card, putting it in their backpack, selling it at school, I'm just like, hello. That is wrong. So I love y'all. Y'all have a great day. And thank y'all again for your love, your support. Thank y'all for my Patreons. I thank y'all for y'all support. And until next time, if, you know, just do better, just do right, and keep our kids in the forefront, because our children deserve better. Thanks.
Please keep my name about your mouth and mind your business.